is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Is sponsored by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Bronze Electric Motors, Sunshine Insurance Agents and Brokers Limited, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are today going to talk about current affairs. We don't have anything super pressing to discuss. We saw the Attorney General give an update on the legislative agenda of the government for the next year. September would mark the beginning of the second year that this administration has been in power. Among the focused items would be overhauling the Public Procurement Act, which frankly I support. I'd always thought it was a bit too much. Now, do we want transparency in how government procures goods and who gets it and what we're spending on it? Absolutely. But I think that the stringency of the Public Procurement Act is something that we adopted from countries that have been in an IMF structured program. And we could end up in an IMF structured program, but we're not there yet. Now, do I feel as though we should act as if we're in an IMF structured program with regard to certain things? Yeah, I do. But we understand that the necessity to move quickly, the experience that people in different departments and agencies would have had dealing with certain vendors and suppliers, there should be a level of trust in their judgment, and the government portal doesn't work properly. So I support overhauling the Procurement Act. It is there to shield from abuse, but sometimes you get in your own way. That was my feeling, and a lot of people may be offended by this, with the Fiscal Responsibility Act. I thought it was a lot of sound and fury that at the end of the day, when you got to move, you're going to move, because we certainly abandoned it when the pandemic hit and we had no choice but to start moving fast. So it's pretty, you know, the legislation's pretty and it looks nice and it lines up neatly. You can go to the world and go, well, see, you know, and you can go to the ratings agencies and go, well, see, we got this, we got that, and, you know, please don't downgrade us. But at the end of the day, you got to have a functional country, right? And you got to figure out how you're going to get along. And you got to have some things you say, this is just what we need to do in the Bahamas, in order to make sure that our country functions the way that we're used to. We don't live where you live. We don't live on Wall Street. We don't live in Berlin. We don't live in Brussels, you know. So this is the Bahamas. We have a unique situation here. And yes, we want to borrow money from you. But at the same time, we'll put in the procedures that we need to that are safeguarding, that we can make sure and meet our sovereign debt obligations. But as far as every little thing, who provides the napkins for the Ministry of National Security, et cetera, or who provides the light bulbs for the Ministry of Education, we don't really need another level of oversight for that sort of thing. And the thing about the Public Procurement Act is the former administration drafted it, passed it, but failed to enact it until just before the election. So they never seemed really serious about it anyway, and that they didn't enact it until they were about to leave office really makes it seem like clout chasing when the opposition goes, well, you're not following the Public Procurement Act, right? And you're not following the Public Debt Management Act because there's this filing deadline. You're not following the fiscal reporting laws because you're 30 days late, you know? And if that's the major concern, like the meticulous minutiae of what line of this particular law that we follow when we want to, that we put in place, then I can't be too concerned about it. If there are major leakages, if the Auditor General makes noise, you can beef up these things with making sure the Auditor General's office is better staffed, that it can function more clearly. We got a Public Procurement Act that everybody's pulling their hair out and screaming about, but yet we spent $500,000 to furnish the ambassador's residence in Europe with, you know, what was it? Ralph Lauren, high-end items. But yet there's a Public Procurement Act that's preventing someone around here from, you know, getting windows in a particular building. That's going to take us years because you got to follow the Public Procurement Act. We can't move without it, you know. And it's just, you know, it's something, it's like you put these rules in place to look good when you know you can't follow them and they don't really serve anything. Like so much of the legislation that we do have already. Like it's like everyone says, we need more laws. I disagree. We got plenty of laws. Now, you could retool a lot of laws, no doubt. We don't need more laws. Okay, now we could talk campaign finance laws. Don't nobody want that. They all talk about it. But in terms of all these particular things that, you know, you go gotcha, right? The Progressive Liberal Party, when it's in opposition, gotcha, you didn't file the pre-election report. Pre-election report for what? For what? For what? Like, how's that going to materially change the way you come in and govern? That you report pre-election all that you spent from the time Parliament, the budget closed in the next election. I don't get it. I think we're doing all this for show. And the nuts and bolts of what we do need to be doing around here, we don't want to do. The Attorney General said, no, they're not considering altering Article 54 of the Constitution, and that's that. And he believes he can do it with ordinary legislation. And I believe he can. I believe he can do that as well. But the problem with that is, will your ordinary legislation withstand constitutional challenge? And that is the question. Now, you had a nationality, immigration, and asylum bill crafted by the last administration that was put out by the Law Reform Commission headed by Dame Anita Allen, who still, as far as I'm aware, heads the Law Reform Commission. And she really meticulously tried to thread the needle of staying within the bounds of the Constitution and doing this through ordinary legislation. But that never went anywhere. And it had some things people complained about, like the time in which to register, which was something that the past Constitutional Commission had recommended and other legal scholars had recommended. But if someone gets up and sues you and says it's unconstitutional to make them register within a certain time to make sure they're Bahamians outside of what the Constitution says, the law may fall away. So I don't know why you don't attack that and attack some of the other things that we need to attack. But we're here pulling our hair out about the Public Procurement Act. You know, I don't get it. You know, I'm all for it. I'm all for, yeah, we got rules and all this stuff in place and telling the international community it's all good. But at the end of the day, you have these pretty rules, but you're going to follow what you want. All right. Like we got a public accounts committee that gets completely dismantled by former House Speaker Dr. Kendall Major. Right, guts it. After the PLP uses it while in opposition as an effective election tool, right, to show about the roadworks, the PLP comes in, guts it. House and Moutrie and the FNM, they use it to their advantage, even when it was gutted when they were trying to use it. Palsamutri falls out with the FNM, he opens up the Public Accounts Committee to do the widespread things that it could do, you know? So make use of it now, all right? We don't need all this other stuff to hamper us and hinder us. I believe in public accountability, but legislation on top of legislation just has you tripping over yourself. My estimation is that a great deal of time at the Ministry of Finance is spent just trying to comply with reporting requirements, all right? Self-imposed reporting requirements, all right? And that's fine, but sometimes you get an overreaction to something that was a crisis, but is no longer that exigent, all right? So you say, and you said it was a crisis. There are real crises, and then there are crises that you say are crises in your mind. So according to the last, according to the Menace administration, overspending, unbudgeted items, right? Not truly reflecting the commitments you had taken on. That was an emergency. It was an exigency that had to be addressed. And so we put all these levels and levels and levels of bureaucracy on top of ourselves to try to address it, right? But do we actually need all of that? Okay. So I remember that after the financial crisis where the banks folded, Bear Stearns and these guys, I think it was 2008, the United States Congress went into overdrive and put all these requirements on reporting for U.S. companies that impacted the entire world. Okay. Was all that necessary is a debatable point. Like, I get that you want reporting on top of reporting on top of reporting on top of reporting, but is that necessary? And has it stopped people from committing the kind of errors that we saw before? To me, not really. They're going to figure out ways around it. So I don't get what the big rah-rah-rah is about the Public Procurement Act. I could be wrong about that. I would much rather we talk about dealing with the crime situation and dealing with the situation about access to capital, barriers to entry for entrepreneurship, home ownership, et cetera. So I want to talk about this point as well. And so Gallimbo says, retail banks are not the problem in small business startup game. All right. And I'm trying to figure this thing out, because I'm also interested in the thrust about this in terms of mortgages. So here's the thing. In the 70s and 80s and 90s, and I'd say the aughts, right? You could go get money from a bank for a home, get money from a bank, a foreign bank, a foreign-owned bank, for a business, often without any significant amount of collateral, all right? And you had access to capital. And, you know, we were platinum, all right? As far as the country is concerned, we had, what, a 30% debt to GDP ratio, right? Our sovereign debt was investment grade. Our profile of debt consumers was solid. They would pay their loans back. It wouldn't be an issue. You could go to the bank, you get overdraft facilities, all this stuff like that. And then after, oh, someone helped me out, I would say 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, we went from platinum to wood, right? And I'm not making it up. The evidence is there. So I'm not shielding for the bank. I'm trying to figure out how to do this. Because guess what? It ain't just the private banks that have a problem with getting Bahamians to pay back what they borrowed by and large as a country. Your own government can't get you to do it. So I do hear, and everyone goes, the bank, the foreign-owned bank. I do hear that, but it's like, y'all don't pay back the government, though. Like, you don't pay back yourself. Like, you're talking about a foreign-owned bank that's repatriating profits. We don't pay back ourselves, right? We borrow money from each other, and we don't pay us back. So the government's there, sets up the development bank on borrowed money that our tax dollars are going to service, right? Sets up Bank of the Bahamas, owns 65% of it, right? Lends millions and millions of dollars to people for property, for businesses, et cetera. We can't get it paid back. So we take the hit, and then we throw good money after bad. We set up special purpose vehicles. We set up a Resolve, throw over $100 million of bad debt in there to free up money on the books of the government majority stake bank so that we could go lend more money to people that aren't going to pay back. Bahamas Mortgage Corporation lends money for housing. People don't pay them back. Education Loan Authority lends money for school. I just need this degree. I'll come back. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to pay you back. We don't pay them back. I use we just as a country because it's just what's been our experience. So I do get the sense that, okay, these foreign banks are getting on our nerves and people who don't live here are making determinations. But I don't blame them for looking at us funny. All right? It's frustrating for me who I pay what I owe, right? Unless I don't know. I got a note from a credit report. I got a note from a bank that I owed $400 on a credit card I swear I paid off, like the entire balance of the credit card, from 2016. All right? I didn't know that. So I definitely try to pay everything that I owe. But as a going concern, Bahamians are a high risk in terms of paying back mortgages, in terms of paying back loans. I mean, now, if you don't believe that, then show me some evidence to the contrary. But we are a high risk country in terms of lending money to. If you look at the loan delinquencies of the central bank, they're coming down, but they're regularly way up. When we had the financial crisis, it wasn't all your fault, but we leveraged ourselves so heavily. Well, it wasn't our fault that the financial markets were collapsing. But we had leveraged ourselves so heavily, when the shock hit, we couldn't meet our obligations. I don't know how many of you were beyond primary school, high school, or even paying attention in around 2007, 8, 9. But we went through a process where there were several thousand delinquent mortgages and foreclosures in process on New Providence. Because we had borrowed so heavily, collateralized these loans so poorly that they weren't willing to lend to us. So I gotta figure out how we can change this. We're not paying the government back. We're not paying the retail banks back. If we were, and they were confident in our ability to pay, they would be lending the money because that's how they make money, banks. But it seems that the thing that they're willing to take a risk on are smaller scale consumer loans and credit cards. Now, if you have a large balance on a credit card, you have a problem, all right? And I've learned this lesson myself. Pay the credit card down, right? Because you're paying the minimum payment. Ain't nobody sweating you, right? I had one bank do this thing to me. And I'm not even complaining, right? I'm just saying you got to pay attention. So I got a credit card I paid off, not the one they told me I owe $400 on. I got a credit card I pay off, all right? And I let it sit there. I go, you know, if there's an emergency, I will use the credit card. Emergency, all right? You know, like catastrophe, I'll use it, you know. I go one day to just check it, because I saw a situation going on where I may have to come up with some money real fast. And the limit on the credit card had risen by several thousand dollars. And so I call the bank and I go, why is the credit card limit higher now than when you issued me the credit card? And they go, well, because you're such a good customer. And I said, but I don't use the credit card. And they were like, well, it's an automatic thing. If you're not in the red, you know, we're going to increase your limit on your credit card. I go, okay. And that's the trap. You see the limit on your credit card. You're like, man, I'm going to Disney World, yo, right now. And we're going to go see Harry Potter. Is Harry Potter at Disney World? We're going to go see Harry Potter, and we're going to go to the Star Wars vibe, and we're going to go to Pandora. All right? Because I know it was like that. And you go bang out that credit card, right? And they're sitting there waiting on you because it's 18% on the credit card. And they're just sitting there collecting that interest off of you, and they'll collect it off you for the rest of your life, and they'll raise the limit on you. Sorry, banks, if I'm giving away anything. They'll raise the limit on you, and you go, let me go spend some more money because ain't nobody sweating me. It's only like, what, $200 a month minimum payment? If that, let me pay that. Right? And they steadily collect an 18% of you. So I'll put this in context for you. If your if your car interest payment was 18%, you would cry bloody murder. Remember when they were doing that? And it was like an unsustainable practice? Remember that? About 2010, 11, 12, you're looking for a car loan, 14%. Remember that? They won't do that to you now because they got to make it competitive because other banks started getting competitive. But that's what they were doing to you. All right? So the banks have an issue. Pay down your credit card. We have an issue as well, and we got to figure out how to move forward with this. I think a lot of the barriers to starting a business is the brick and mortar model, which a lot of businesses still have to do that model. But a lot more ingenuity and digitization would help. It says, I'm a small business owner. I submitted proposals for similar items over 20 times. I never saw who actually got the contracts. Why would it be so hard to have a website and simply put the name of which business got the bid? I mean, I totally agree. I think that should happen. And I think every month there should be a published list of who got contracts. I mean, I don't need to know beneficial ownership, none of this stuff like that. Name of the company, what the contract was for, and how much the company got. I think that's only fair. It's public money, right? In terms of it got to go through the portal to get the lumber to fix the school. If they don't go through the portal, then come on, man. Like, be serious. So it can rain on top of the children's head because they don't go through the portal. It says, blacks in Exuma, no college degree, making all kind of money from Airbnb while you have high mortgage and car note to pay. Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, you got to figure out how you're going to leverage your debt. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about how banks can be more friendly and accommodating to Bahamians. So let's put on the aside for a second the notion of lending me money. All right. Yeah, I wanna get a house, you know, and all this stuff like that. I'd be great if I get land and build it and yada yada yada. But let's just put that aside. Someone says I'm off online. I'm not online. Am I on radio? Someone communicate to me what we're doing. Am I online or am I not online? Somebody let me know. Am I on regular radio or am I not on regular radio? When Kermit says, continue. Okay. I'm just going to trust Kermit. Put my faith in Kermit. So aside from lending us money, which I do want to be for them to be able to lend us money, that often is how you can be successful borrowing and leveraging and selling. Like, that's how the world works for the most part. But let's talk about the excessive fees that the banks charge. All right. Now, I want to talk about that. Now, you don't want to lend us money. We can discuss that. All right. And that's one thing. And, you know, it's your bank. And It is, for all intents and purposes, your shareholders' business, and you want to bring a return on it. But at the same time, you're telling me you don't want to lend me money. I take offense, and I am going to ask people to help me with this one, all right? I take offense at the fact that every single year, it appears, the banks are increasing fees on their own customers to use the bank. Right? I think it's unfair. It doesn't make any sense to me that if I come in the bank to deposit money, there's a charge. I have an account here. I'm coming to the bank to deposit money. There's a charge for that. All right? I want to come in the bank and withdraw money. There's a charge for that. And a lot of people are having problems with that throughout the Caribbean, because a lot of the banks that are here are, of course, in other Caribbean countries. And certain people are starting to get irritated with it. So I know Mia Motley has said, and maybe she's just talking, you know, but Mia Motley has said that it's unfair and it's usury, you know, and the consumers are being hit hard and the bank fees are unsustainable. All right. And so it's not just one, and Mia Motley might be cloud chasing, but she has said as recently as last month, I remember reading something where she ordered the governor of the central bank to investigate bank fees. So he's probably going to get mad at me, but the last time we visited this was when Dion Fokes had portfolio oversight of clearing banks. I believe it was in what capacity, I'm unsure. But they said, hey, there's a problem. All right. And Dion Fokes said, we're going to go talk. And they had a lunch, and they took some pictures, and nothing happened. All right, and that was the end of that. So what we've gone from is a charge on having a particular service or facility with a bank to a transactional charge. All right, and they've been doing it with ATMs for years, and now they've been doing it with debit cards a lot. So usually you'd have a monthly charge on your account to have your debit card. We're now going to some circumstances where they're charging you a transactional fee on your debit card. All right? Now, I don't run a bank. But to me, it is egregious that you're charging me a transactional fee on a digital transaction. Like you don't pay. That's not something that you're paying for every time a transaction happens as a bank. But yet you charge me. So I'm just trying to figure out how we can address the fees at the banks, and then we can talk about the lending at the banks. All right? It really is a major problem. And do we want banks to make money because banks employ many, many people in the Bahamas with good paying jobs? Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, actually. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. And here's the thing. John Roll, if you're listening, listen to me. We're going to speak offline, hopefully, but listen to me. Nobody understands the value of using sand dollars over using regular banks. All right? And I'm not trying to be mean, but that's the fault of the central bank. So someone very smart, I was having a conversation with the other day, two people, they go, okay, I'm going to pay you with a check. All right, don't worry about what we were talking about. And they go, okay, well, let's do that. But I said, you know, the central bank was talking about killing checks. And they go, why? I go, I don't know. I have no idea, right? I just saw that they said they're having a public consultation about getting rid of checks, which bothers me a bit because I do sometimes use checks. But okay, you want to get rid of checks? I'm down. I think you're gonna the check clearing and printing companies may have a problem with that. And so they said, "Tell me something." I said, "Well, you know, you could pay me in sand dollars." And he go, "What the hell are you talking about?" I go, "Sand dollars. It's central bank digital currency. It's fiat. It's money. It's cash. Right? It's digital cash." And he goes, "I have no idea what you're talking about." He's like, "Okay." I say, "Okay. So if you were to pay me, say, with a bank transfer, right? You're just transferring Bahamian dollars from your bank to my bank or from your bank account to my bank account. They're going to charge you for that. All right? They're going to charge you if it's a standard transfer. They're going to charge you if it's an expedited transfer. Okay? But if you were to use a sand dollar to sand dollar account, there's no charge. Because it's just cash, right? So there's a benefit to using sand dollars over using bank accounts, all right? So you have a mobile sand dollar wallet thing and you're just transferring dollars for that. It's like transferring cash. There's no charges, all right? But no one seems to have communicated that. Plus, I think there are only about 300,000 sand dollars in circulation. So like one big boatload of stuff and that kills that. Yeah, central bank, you got a bit more public education, all right? There's a real benefit to using sand dollars, but it hasn't been a robust, continuous public education campaign. We gotta take a break, we're gonna be back. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
To think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Major brands of electric motors, hand cooling water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
To anyone interested in managing their personal finances, Sunshine Finance is offering interest-free and payment-free loans. You will be charged 0% interest until January 2023. You can keep all of this year's loan payments up to and including December. This interest-free, payment-free offer is limited to loans booked with Sunshine Finance in August only. If any of this can assist you, contact us at apply@sunshinefinanceltd.com. Sunshine Finance, we're your leader in private lending.
At Wendy's, our food is made to make you crave. Crave our pretzel BLT burger or Chipotle crunch for only $5 each. Our Chipotle crunch chicken sandwich is covered in crispy jalapenos, Chipotle aioli, cheddar cheese sauce, and much more. Or bite into our pretzel BLT with fresh beef, cheddar cheese sauce, applewood smoked bacon, and smoky honey mustard sauce on a pretzel bun. Restrictions apply. Eat and earn reward members. Remember to scan or swipe to earn points. Wendy's, different inside and out.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
you do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney. Good to have you with us. All right, so we were talking about the sand dollar before the break. I guess I can help the central bank with its stuff. So sand dollar is a good way for you to avoid banking fees because you don't have to keep your sand dollars in any particular bank. You can just trade sand dollars. And it's actually eventually, if you like want the cash, maybe I need more education on it. You need to transfer it to a bank and then get the cash, or you go to the central bank. But in terms of having that money and paying for stuff and you can pay digitally, you never really have to get to the cash part. You just have digital cash and it just lives digitally. And I think it's a great idea. We were the first in the world to do it. I think we need to promote it more. They've tried promoting them on the Family Islands, but I'm not sure that the concept is catching fire. And I'm not sure that it is something that is attractive to a lot of the people on Family Islands who deal with tourists who would not be dealing with them in sand dollars. All right. So it's an interesting way to make sure that you're kind of avoiding the banking fees. All right. But it's so difficult because I find it difficult. It's difficult. In the last year, we've made progress, right? And I've made this calculation because me, I'm trying to game the system. The system exists. Yeah, I want to change the system, but I'm trying to game the system until I can change it. So I'm trying to do these calculations. If I go get the cash, they're going to charge me a fee to go get my own money. And I get it. The ATM costs money for the bank to maintain and buy and all this and provide electricity for. I get it. The fee's nuts, but okay. Sometimes up to $5 plus VAT, right? You're paying the VAT. And so if I'm taking the cash out, I got to go get the money. And what you're thinking is, okay, let me go get, well, this is how I used to think way back when. You're thinking, okay, let me get this $100 out. And then, you know, it's not gonna cost me as much. I don't need to come. I'll have this and I can come back tomorrow and get another 100 for somebody else. You might as well take the whole 300 out one shot because you're gonna get charged for taking that 100 out, same as you can get charged for taking that 300 out. And you're also gonna get charged VAT. All right. If you go back three times, you can get charged each time. So I'm trying to game the system. I'm like, let me go get the cash out one shot, right? I'm gonna pray that me and the criminals don't meet on the road because you can't carry a gun in your car. And then when people have services, I'm gonna go pay them with the cash. The risk in taking the cash around to me is not worth it because I wanna be in a position because God forbid, you know, someone sticks you up. You may have cash and give it to them and they shoot you anyway, you know, but I want to be able to, when I don't have cash because I perfected this when I started dealing with the vagrants, right? So they asked me for cash. I don't have any and I don't feel bad. My conscience doesn't weigh heavy on me that I lied to this random vagrant, but I started that practice that way. And so I go, the cash is not worth it. So I'm going to try to pay people electronically. Do you know what I had to go through? Like walk people through electronic bank payments. And some people I know still don't believe in it. No, I want the cash. Yeah, but I can send you the cash right to you in your bank account. You even got to go to the bank, bro. They're going to charge you to go in the bank. They're also going to charge me to send you this cash. I'm not sure if there's a charge to receive the cash. Possibly there is. I just send you the cash. You put it right in your bank account. I'll put it down. I want the cash. All right, man. Okay. So a lot of people still don't understand it. And we got to do some education on it. Again, that's just for me. I'm helping people understand my personal experience, helping people understand. I'm going to send this from my bank account to your bank. How am I going to do that? How am I going to check the bank out? You got to do online banking. You got to download a mobile application. What's a mobile application? You know, all the other stuff you have on your phone is just like one of those, right? You think I'm trying to explain to somebody, let's all sign up for sand dollars and what digital fiat is and the whole essence of money and what the central banks function is? It's not going to happen. It says other countries don't need digital currency because their bank fees are not atrocious. I agree. And I think the solution to that part of the problem might possibly have in more Bahamian banks. Now, I believe it's JJ Edwards called me and go, Bahamians can have a bank in the country. And that's not true. Bahamians already have banks in the country. Credit unions, bank. Do Bahamians want to get in that business is the question. I would imagine there are some wealthy people who are not already in the banking business who probably would find that business to be lucrative. And they could compete if they offered better fees, lower fees, better rates than the banks now that exist here do. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back after news. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, we're talking about banking and access to banks and capital and even your own money, really. Okay. We're talking about sand dollar. And sand dollars, real money. A friend of mine just sent me a single sand dollar to my canoe account. I'm going to spend it. Don't think I won't. I'll figure it out. But we don't understand banking very well, I think. And I'm not saying that to knock anyone. I'm saying I think that a lot of the motivations of the foreign bank. If you don't want foreign banks, no problem. Fine. I don't have a problem with that. It's your money anyway, right? But I don't know that a local bank's going to come along and go, yeah, you guys' risk profile dramatically shifted because I have Bahamian eyes. Don't know that that's going to happen because I'm going to look at your track record and go, yeah, y'all don't pay money back. Most of you, all right? Some of you. And the ones who are responsible, as is often the case, suffer for those who are not, all right? And we're talking about, like I said, the sand dollar, all right? I told a friend of mine about the sand dollar, and this is actually a very smart guy, and he looked at me like I was suggesting we trade in twigs and berries as opposed to money. But it is what it is, right? We need more education, and we need more access. They got it on Exuma. They got it on Abaco. You could do it on New Providence. I'm not sure where else it is. I'll have to, Central Bank surely must have someone employed to explain this. It says, Juan, the problem is on the Family Islands, a lot of times data is down. We cannot push a digital infrastructure when you cannot swipe your card. I was on a Family Island 2 weeks ago, and in three instances, data was down and I had to use cash. Good thing I took some emergency cash with me. It is a serious, serious issue on these islands. They have signs up saying cards accepted, but when the data's down so much, what's the sense? Earlier this year, I was on another Family Island and treated everyone to lunch. The bill was $250. I had my card to pay. We swiped that everyone bill, the bill for everyone was $250. They didn't order enough food. It says, I had my card to pay. We swiped that 10 times, but the system would not connect. I had to borrow money to pay my bill. Also, the government prints cash, legal tender. They should not have offices that don't take cash, in my opinion. Boy, you make a good point. Digital banking should be a convenience, not mandatory. It should be pushed vigorously for the online platforms, but not in-person services. And, you know, you make good points. The government does print cash. Well, they don't print it here, but the government does print cash, and I don't think we can realistically consider that we're going to be a cashless society, right? I don't think cash is well, depends on who you talk to. My friend Theo Savusa said fiat's dead and cash is dead too. It's just a matter of the doctor calling it, you know what I mean? And you're right, the Family Island infrastructure is poor. But here's where I think there's some hope. And here's why I'm going to go run for the PLP. I'm kidding. In 2009, the Ingram administration passed what was then called, or it passed the Communications Act. Okay? And as much as y'all throw rock at Ingram, anyway, let me shut up. So, what the Communications Act did is it envisioned, and this wasn't Ingram's singular idea. He picked it up from other countries, which is what you should do when, you know, something makes sense elsewhere. We should pick it up here. It envisioned a electronic communications environment that allowed for competition, regulation, and growth. Okay? Now, you could argue with some of the nuts and bolts of what Ingram did. And Ingram, by the way, let me slow down. Okay? And in terms of growth, it's been the practice of the government, hell, I'll even give Christie credit. It's been the practice of the government to try to, I want to be selfish. I want to be a selfish New Providence person and say it's cost us so much. But again, do you really say you're a nationalist when you don't consider the rest of the nation? What happened was that it paved the way, and Ingram did this to pave the way for the sale of BTC. I know he got a lot of flack for that too. And I don't agree that Cable and Wireless is the company we should have sold BTC to, but y'all could row with Lang over that. It paved the way for the sale of BTC, and the sale of BTC paved the way for a competitive communications market, okay? Now, if you're having a competitive cellular market, all right? And now we understand that how much money is in data, all right? That's why BTC's focus is so hard on fiber as well as cell phones, but same with Cable Bahamas, right? Although I don't know where they are with their fiber, and I'm not about to find out right up and now. It paved the way for a communications market that had competition and that could grow throughout the Bahamas. So when you saw BTC was sold, along came Alive, and Cable Bahamas successfully bid for that cellular license. And so the obligations of BTC and Alive are to have, and Cable Bahamas, are to grow toward the same service on the family islands that they have here. Now, I'm BTC and I'm going, sure, man, that sounds fantastic. Okay. Exuma should have the same service we have on New Providence. Great. Now, when I go and lay thousands of miles of fiber optic cable and dig trenches and have poles and have, what do you call them, conduits, converters, and split them out and run them to houses that are miles down the road and all this stuff, that you're asking me to pay for that how? Right? And you're making a great point. One would argue you could take the $24 million we just got from BTC the other day and help pay for that. But Cable Bahamas, same argument. Okay, we're gonna try, right? But these aren't lucrative markets, which has always been the problem with the Bahamas, all right? The infrastructure's not there, so the business isn't there. The business isn't there, so the infrastructure's not there. What the Communications Act did was set up the mechanism to start a universal service fund. And a universal service fund is a fund that allows everybody to have similar and equal or equal access to communication services, all right, which includes data, internet, which is the way of the future, right? The universal service fund was never actioned. IRCA over and over again put out consultation, put out communications. They issued papers, all right? And where we're at now is that, and you heard this in Brad Davis's budget speech, they're establishing a universal service fund, all right? Which could radically change things throughout the country. That's why I say I'm running for the PLP, which I'm not, all right? But Brave Davis gets it. Brave Davis strikes me as a person. This is not to throw shade on any, well, I don't care who feels anyway about it. Brave Davis strikes me as a person. If you explain something to him with sense and it's legit, he will buy in, okay? So we have hopefully soon to be established, if history doesn't prove me a fool, a universal service fund for the family islands, all right? Well, a universal service fund for the Bahamas that will allow licensees access to the same fund to build out infrastructure on the family islands, okay? So your business is coming, I want to come to Bahamas, right? Great. I gotta, I need, you know, 50 work permits. I gotta have my people here. And I, by the way, I gotta have fiber optic internet. And I want some land. I want this XYZ. I want reliable electricity. Okay, great. We got all that. No internet? Okay, nope, can't come. So now when you're attracting business to the Bahamas, even second homeowners, even people who say you want to work remotely, have visas and all stuff, you could say, look, we have, and you would have to do it on a critical mass level of population-wise, right? So you're not going to be like, yeah, we got, I know y'all like to say I picked on Mayaguana, although I hear some things are happening on Mayaguana, but anyway, we'll talk about that another day. We have critical mass on these islands, all right? And in these particular parts of these islands. So is it a practical reality to go and say there's fiber optic cable throughout all of Andhra? No, right? But you can have enough population centers where there are people who where you use the Universal Service Fund to set up, all right? Infrastructure on these family islands that will help us to grow this country. Because if you have proper, if, like the guy who messaged me, he works at an offshore bank, right? And I'm sure he would love to live on the family islands, right? The weather's great. The fishing's fantastic. But I can't do my job if I don't have internet, all right? There's no way for business to properly function or grow if we don't have internet. And so what the Universal Service Fund will do is allow the government and the large licensees to put into the fund to help us to grow the infrastructure throughout our country. And it really could be a game changer in that no one provider has to do it all themselves and figure out if the investment is worth it, okay? And it'll also allow the family lines to open up to more development. And I think it's a good thing. It's very forward looking, all right? So that's where we're headed, hopefully. Hopefully that pans out. So next year, when I'm preparing to run for the PLP again, the PLP, I'll be in Eleuthera doing my show from there. And you won't know any difference because I'll have fiber optic cable and we'll be doing great, all right? There are details about it, administration of the fund, who, how the money is being used so that we understand that it's not to benefit private interest over other people, X, Y, Z, but, and that's what IRCA is for. And we'll see how they work out their mandate. I'm sorry, am I in the weeds? This says, no, the sale of BTC was in preparation for that competitive market. Okay. Okay. That's, I mean, is this a chicken versus egg argument? I think that however you say it, I don't know that it matters at the end of the day, because we're still, the sale of BTC still prompted a liberalized communication sector, which is what we wanted, right? Which is what I wanted. Okay, and I wanted BTC to be relinquished from government control, which is what happened. And we have a live who's very competitive and has fulfilled its obligations in terms of just about everything it said it would do, even with the family islands. I'm not aware of anything actually that they didn't do that they said they would do, besides continuing to sponsor my show. All right. So we're on the precipice of change, right? We've experienced change, and now we're on the precipice of more change, so the family islands could have some more development. If I own a communications company, I'm going to be very reluctant to invest more heavily in the family islands until we can create something close to economies of scale there, right? But as far as communications, we're getting better. All right. So that's what's happening. That's all your egghead stuff so far. What the sand dollar is, what's happening with the Universal Service Fund. They do a lot, you know. If you pay attention to Parliament, that's what y'all keep telling me, we need more laws. I'm like, man, you know how many laws we have? Do you know what's going on? Have you read the Electricity Act? Do you? We could be living like in outer space with all the overall the Electricity Act provides for in 2015. That's why BPL exists. We just get stuck on stupid sometimes, and we get stuck on in a mode of we're afraid to push, we're afraid to move forward. And I'm actually very pleased that we're doing the Universal Service Fund, and it's a Bahamian-driven initiative, because we could have easily just copped out to a foreigner and be like, oh, y'all come do it, you know, and y'all control it. But we'll own it, we'll fund it, we'll control it, all right? And make sure that it's used properly. It's not only going to help you to swipe your credit card properly, it's going to help your kids to have proper abilities to communicate with the rest of the world, to get a better education, to have better opportunities. It's going to help research. It's going to help law enforcement. It's going to help environmental causes, okay? As I said, law enforcement, the defense force will have better capabilities. The police force will have better capabilities. And that's part of, and so it's a national security interest as well. And that's part of what we're doing. So we'll do the Universal Service Fund. We'll have better internet and data services throughout our populated, significantly family islands. And commerce will ensue. We'll have growth. I will be moving. Where y'all don't drive as poorly and kill people as often. And we will be able to experience a different sort of action than we experience on New Providence, but with the same level of comfort in terms of internet. All right, that's where we're going. Okay, let me see. Text messages. It says, for the sand dollar, it takes a little bit of forced adoption, i.e. you must pay this way or you only receive it, et cetera. I feel you, but here's my problem with the sand dollar. And again, I don't work for the central bank. They should come clarify this. Let's say I want to get frisky, right? And I want to send, to have all of my stock purchase from you for this month in sand dollar. Let's do the sand dollar transaction, buddy. And you go, let's do it. How much stock you want? I want $250,000 worth of stock from you this month. All right. And you go, great. Let's do the sand dollar trade. You're going to go get me, let's hypothetically say, $250,000 of the sand dollars and send it to me. And I go, great, perfect. That's it. Well, right? I'm going to pay you with $250,000 of the sand dollars. And you're going to go, great, perfect. I got the $250,000 sand dollars. And so we're going to go, okay, you know, it's a couple of weeks later. Things went better than expected. I need to do another transaction with the sand dollars. The problem is there's only so many sand dollars in circulation. All right? You're going to want to access that whole $50,000. But what normally happens, I can't explain monetary policy today, not overall, but what happens when there's not enough money in circulation? Let me give you this. Let me ask you this. What would happen if, this is Juan, you're leaving the island? If God's mercy continues, yes, I ain't staying here with y'all. I send my kids to school when they're done. I don't know. Unless I got like a fortress. Mind you, if I get really paid, we'll see. I'm probably gone anyway. But anyway, explain to me what happens if, I don't want to get anybody in problems. Explain to me what happens if John S. George wants to purchase supplies from the United States for $10 million. And Hoffer and Sons wants to purchase supplies from the United States for $5 million. And the central bank only has, let's say, $9 million in U.S. cash, all right? Because I need to go to central bank to get the U.S. cash to buy it from the U.S., right? What happens if the central bank doesn't have enough money, doesn't have enough of that currency to supply you, okay? the central bank will say to you, we don't have enough to satisfy you, so you can either get the amount that's here, and that's it, or you can start telling me what you're willing to pay to have these U.S. dollars over this next person who wants these U.S. dollars. And that's when we get into a problem and the peg falls apart and there's no longer dollar parity with the United States. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't understand how the sand dollar can sustain itself if there's only so many in circulation. I doubt that they're meeting the demand for what they have in circulation now, but let's just say that happens and that increases. How are you going to meet that demand is my question. All right. Someone from the central bank is going to come one day and explain that to me so that I understand more carefully. And that's just a hypothetical scenario, but it's a scenario beyond just thinking of, well, sand dollars exist. Let's have, you ever heard of game theory? Let's game these situations out and think about what we do in this scenario so that we're prepared for that. That's usually what you do. All right, let me do some more text messages. And I feel like talking about this stuff because I think that we got to understand, because what you want to talk about is like the guy whose boss beat him with a belt, allegedly, and, you know, the father of the boy who drowned and what rights. And I get that you want to talk about that, but let me help you explain. That's real and that's important. And that matters. But there's lots of stuff swirling around out here that you need to understand or you're going to get left behind. This says, that's exactly right. You called it right. You don't meet it. If you don't meet it, you adjust exchange rate to lower demand. It's a natural process. Yeah. It says, come on, bro, F the sand dollar. People don't have jobs to live decent, and persons losing home to these banks, rodents and stray dogs all over, gas $7, and the list goes on and on. F the sand dollar. That's fine. You F the sand dollar, all right, and go deal with the stray dog problem, because you don't think what's going on with the central bank has any bearing on persons losing homes to banks, or the fact that we don't properly fund rodent control, all right, and what's doing on with gas, because you want to remain, and I'm gonna challenge you, you want to remain ignorant to how the world works, and you believe that your myopic view and talking about those things without addressing the greater infrastructural issues that underpin the functioning of our country does more good than explain to people how money works. You know why a lot of you are going to get left behind? Let me show you something. A young guy stopped me the other day. I want to ask you. A guy stopped me in the gym today, too, asking about working out. But a young guy stopped me the other day and said, I want to ask you something. So I heard you talking about investment. I would like to understand it. All right? Because he understands where the world is going. You don't understand where the world is going. You're worried about dogs and cats running around. As I said before, and I'll tell you again, you get this money and all those problems are going to be solved. Okay? But if you live in your little myopic box, F the sand dollar, do you even understand how it can improve people's lives? That's what I've been trying to explain to you this whole time. But I'll talk to everyone else except you. All right? You don't understand how money works, and that's why a lot of people are where they are. But a young guy stopped me and he said, you were talking about government bonds the other day and investing. I want to understand how that works. I want to get into it. And I said, you know, and I started to explain to him, and I was like, he's like, how does this work? How does that work? And I started to explain to him, because I used to be like you. I used to be like, I'm only checking for my paycheck week to week to week. And what I figured out was, if I start to understand how these systems work, how money works, how communications work, how the internet works, all right, then I can get beyond having to worry about living week to week. I used to live like that too. I used to work at the hotel. A lot of them don't worry about living week to week. You get paid every week. I plotted my life out in weeks. Until I figured out, there's a saying, and we're going to take a break. There's a saying, right? Until I figured out, it don't matter how many weeks there are. in a year. What matters is how much I work and put use to that time. All right? You're going to do the same thing you've been doing the same week after week for 52 weeks a year and have no solution. And when the shock hits, people lose their homes. When the shock hits, the rodents are piling up. But if you get yourself some knowledge, some understanding of the way things work and how to uplift yourself, those same 52 weeks that people are living week to week to week and falling behind week after week after week, you're going to see yourself climbing week after week after week. There's a saying that says, use the hours. Don't count them. It's not the time that matters so much as what you do with it. And you will never regret using your time to have knowledge and understanding. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Bahamas, it's time for the third installment of Fish Fry Fridays, the hottest once-a-month after-work party, brought to you by Fassage, the Bahamas' number one party band, Star 106, and Margaritaville, downtown Nassau.
1, 2, 3, go!
Fish Fry Fridays has quickly become the talk of the town, and because of such a super large turnout the last time, the venue has been expanded to enhance your enjoyment experience.
I go drink water and mind my business.
It's a happy hour like no other. So on Friday, August 26th, after work, kick off your shoes and head over to the 12 Volt Bar at the beautiful Margaritaville Resort, downtown Nassau, and enjoy the Fish Fry Friday experience with the dynamic, energetic live sound of Visage and DJ AI. Admission is $25 and includes one free complimentary drink, or enjoy the tantalizing Vacation Cafe Buffet with full access to the event for only $55 per person. Tune in to Star 106 for more details. Fish Fry Fridays.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right. So we're talking about sand dollar. We're talking about banking. We're talking about the need to facilitate banking through better internet, the Universal Service Fund. I want to explain something to you. All right. I wish when I was younger, someone would have explained this to me. My parents taught me a lot. All right, the value of hard work, the value of saving your money, all right, and a lot of things that you can't really learn in books, just about life. But before I started understanding how our systems work, I was lost. So what I'm trying to put down for you is some game for you to pick up to start playing with some sense. So if you think the rat and the dog problem is the epicenter of the universe, by all means, deal with that. But for those of you who want to understand how this all works and how you can get in, how the future's shaping and where your opportunities are, come with me. All right? Because this is where I'm going. I'm trying to bring you with me. Now, you can't bring everybody, right? But I'm trying to bring you with me. So understand how this game is shaping up. That blockchain technology is going to take over the world. That an archipelagic island chain can be more easily connected in terms of information and communications by internet than it can by boats and planes. And that's where we're going in the Bahamas. And if we have sense and if we buy in, we can make it, we can make it. All right? I have a friend, he's a taxi driver. You know what he used to do? Remember I tell you week to week and it's how you use your hours? He used to wait on the line at the airport. Taxi drivers, y'all are out there listening to me. What's the line like? It's shorter. It's less wait time now, right? Because there's more tourists. But when I tell you what the tourists are valuable, you don't listen to me. When after the pandemic hit and the flights started coming back and people just started having confidence and traveling again, what was the wait time like? 4 hours? 5 hours? Right? The taxi driver said they would leave at 4 a.m. to go out there to wait for the flight that comes in at 8. And they still may only get one job a day. And that's how they spend their time. And I'm not knocking you. You got to do what you can. You got to do what you know until you know better. My boy is a taxi driver. He started a website. All right. With no money. Okay. On his phone, he did it. He figured it out. And it allows American tourists, or any tourists, but Americans mainly, to book him before they come. Because what are the tourists doing? You think they're around here worrying about the rodent and the dog problem? No. The tourists are going online to book their Airbnb, book their hotel, book their car. If they need a taxi, they're going to book it, book their excursion. That's how they're doing this. And those who are hip to that now are making the money. The tourists book the taxi. They tell him his arrival time. And there's no wait. He pulls up, picks them up, drops them off. He got another job happening in 90 minutes. So I'd say this to anybody out there who's young or anybody who's trying to shift the way they do things. It ain't the amount of time you spend, right? It's how you spend the time. Spend the time learning the game and how to short circuit the game. And you ain't gonna worry about the dogs and the rodents. I still worry about the rodents because the trash pickup's atrocious. But you're not gonna have me sitting there talking about the dog problem and people losing their house problem. This is to put people on game so they don't lose their houses. So that you understand the angles of where to get in. Because what I used to do, and I'll admit it, is just whine, right? It was an attempt to increase accountability, but I wasn't helping anybody understand anything. And I said, you know what? People aren't gonna like me because they think it's political, but by now you should have understood that it's not political. It's just me. I'm worried about the nation more so than your political party, and you just aren't built like I'm built because you care more about your party and your little clique you go around than the actual country, no problem. But I said, you know what? Let me, instead of just calling everyone out, which I still don't have a problem doing, let me explain to you why I'm calling them out. Let me explain to you how this system is supposed to work. Let me explain to you what ideally should be going on and why we're not there. And people have thanked me for that. Much more than people going, yeah, you're calling the government out. That's all great. But if I can help you understand better how systems are working so you could have an insight into, oh, I need to go this way, or oh, I need to go that way, or oh, here's a need I never thought of exploiting, so that I can make some money. I can change some things, right? That's what we're trying to accomplish. All right, we got a caller on the line. Let's do it. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. How you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, that's what's happening.
Yeah, I listen to your show, and I live to Toronto line too, and also of them are actually educational, but it sounds like different. You know, the thing about it is, I don't know if it's your gift, but you actually kind of speak in layman's terms and try, like you say, try to get everybody to climb up like you, and I appreciate you, and it's from a different perspective. And I you know, and it sounds good, back, and it's a 4-hour between you and about the night. Very interesting to have you guys on 5 days a week, and I appreciate you. Actually doing your role in trying to make and bring the citizenry up to a certain level. I appreciate you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you saying that. For sure.
The thing about it is that cryptocurrency is actually going to be good. But, you know, I was prompted to call in because I'm a taxi driver, and I asked Ms. Khan exactly the thing, and we have a very unique job because, like you say, waiting in line 3 and 4 hours, instead of gossiping and saying, you know, the internet is so interesting and you can learn so many things by the internet, and that's what I try to do on listen to your show to really give me a heads up to see what the area that I would venture in, you know, and I applaud another taxi driver who actually built a platform allowing all taxi drivers to join the platform to take credit cards via the app rather than using a credit card. And I think that's very good also.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, thank you, man. I appreciate your thing. I mean, I'll continue to listen and enjoy your dialogue.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. All right. Trim says, what you're saying is great, but we do need to concentrate on garbage, dog problem, et cetera. Everything works hand in hand. I mean, I agree that there is a problem with dogs and rodents and all that, but I'm not saying since there's a problem with dogs, let's never talk about the sand dollar. All right? Because I just talked about garbage on Monday. Garbage and BTC, all right, and the verges for an entire show. By the way, I got my BTC problem corrected, all right? I want to thank Lorraine Gay at BTC for calling me, for explaining to me what was going on, for seeking to have my problem rectified, and for following up with me after that. Says, if your blank wasn't whining when Doc Minnis was in office trying to get your family elected, we'd have been much further. Y'all still heard about Minnis? Go look for him, yo. He ain't hard to find. He's somewhere out west eating stew fish. Go check him and you and him can commiserate and cuss me out together. Nesbitts, perhaps? Juan, house shops were accepting Sun Card, Check Card, etc. They need to move with the times regarding the sand dollar. I regret nothing I said about Minnis. Not a single. I think I should have went further. Just house shops were accepting Sun Card, Check Card, etc. They need to move with the times regarding the sand dollar. Businesses need to be leading the charge. We have to have vision. One, we're so afraid of change in this country. And you know, I went to Bahamar because I'm in use. So I want to talk about me going to Bahamar on August Monday. And I felt like such a rube, right? Because I was in line waiting to pay for something. And the guy in front of me was paying with his phone, right? And then the cashier, who's Bahamian, I get in front of them. And maybe it's just in my head, but I feel like they were kind of looking down on me because I was paying with a credit card. And this guy's got the payment on his iPhone. Look at this behavior. Credit card. Have we got a call online? Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Listen, that Batelco, I'm sure that you had the other day. That's how you got your Batelco problem solved. Somehow they must be know I was the other one, since they got mine solved too the same day.
Excellent. Praise God.
That was a great show. Now we need to get on there this more. And the cleanup of the road and all these holes in the road, it has to be a show on its own.
I agree. Very much so. Thanks so much. It says, please move to Eleuthera and open your own radio station. Okay. I wouldn't be opening a terrestrial radio station, but we'll talk about that another time. Let's take a break. All right, let's take a break, and we're going to be back.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Opa! Burger King Nassau is bringing you the fresh Greek flavors you love done the BK way. Come and enjoy the new Greek Whopper with a delicious combination of tzatziki sauce, feta cheese, red onions, and refreshing cucumber on our signature flame-grilled patty. Or go Greek with a plant-based Whopper or crispy chicken sandwich. All three delicious sandwiches are topped off with lettuce and tomato and made the Burger King way. Bring your friends and experience the Greek Whopper lineup at BK Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. I will be here tomorrow. Chef Simeon Hall Jr. is going to be with me. I won't be here next week. It's my birthday on Tuesday. You can leave cash at the front desk if you'd like. I also accept manager's checks. Someone says we have a call-in. We have a call-in. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Yeah, bless it, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Yeah, my own just gone a couple of days ago. Yeah, Mr. McCartney, what? I was calling you to tell you the power of the radio, right? But I don't know what kind of coincidence it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just after I hang up from you with the Batelco situation, right, they call and the guy appeared, right? And so what happens is it was really not their fault. You know, that I don't know because of the current cut and all and all, but the modem, this is something that people should know, and maybe you should know because I never read the manual. What happens is the Wi-Fi button, you know, you could reset it from the side. You could reset the modem from the side and from the back. But what happens is, when you reset the Wi-Fi button, you have to hold it down versus just pressing it and letting it go. Because once the Wi-Fi is not illuminated, you don't see it lit, then even if you have an extender, whatever you have, whatever, it still wouldn't kick in. But that's why my brother was able to get his own, but I wasn't able to get my own. So it was just a matter of holding on the Wi-Fi button for a little while and then letting it up versus just a normal press button reset. So because I didn't read the manual, I didn't know it. So nobody knows everything. And that was it. And he came and that was it. And I was so embarrassed, but that was it. That was all for a week. So these are the things that we should know. But I guess we don't like to read. Have a good day, yeah, man.
Okay, my brother. Your problem sounds way less complicated than my problem. Okay. We got another caller, sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, how you doing, Juan?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
Pretty good. Let me ask you something. You can't get nobody from the ministry. Who cleans up the road?
The road? Normally, public parks and public beaches deals with verges. That's contract. True. Yeah. Also, Ministry of Works plays a role.
Okay. But probably you can't get nobody on from that particular place to explain why the road is in such bad condition with garbage everywhere.
I'd love to know.
Including downtown. I just was downtown.
I think parks and beaches
is
underworks.
More yellow bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't pick up the garbage.
No. Nope.
Yep. I think being trouble with this roads and parks, people or whatever it is.
They got to tighten it up, my brother. I got to tell you that. Because it can be done. Because it was pretty regularly done during last administration.
Yeah. I drive East Street a while ago, and garbage from one end of East Street from Soldier Road to the roundabout. I mean, garbage.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, you have a pleasant weekend. Eh?
Okay. You do the same. I agree with the garbage thing. I'd like to get somebody on, but I don't know that getting somebody on helps me. Because I'm pretty clear there's a garbage collection issue. But it would be good. It says, hey, Juan, I want to send you a birthday gift in Bitcoin. Send me your Bitcoin address. I'm going to pull it up for you. There's a Luthra, only if we can still tune in from the U.S. and Canada. Yeah. It says, Eleuthera ain't ready for more people or commerce yet. Almost no water, sporadic electricity, and lousy, lousy internet. My BTC internet there hasn't worked in a year, and the technician can't fix it. All right. Well, listen, you're good PLP government, okay? Is going to have Sylvanus Petty fix the water. In Eleuthera, are we talking north of Eleuthera or all of Eleuthera? South of Eleuthera, all of Eleuthera? Might be a little central. They're going to have Pedro Roll make sure that Eleuthera has adequate electricity supply. And the Universal Service Fund, which I believe is being monitored and orchestrated through the Office of the Prime Minister and IRCA, they're going to help BTC get better internet. Soon. We got another call, sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan.
How's it going?
Great. Juan, I just want 2 minutes of your precious time.
Okay.
You know, week before last Saturday, I got held up with a 45.
I'm so sorry.
You know, you met me before in the Chinese place. The fair-skinned guy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember. Yes. Okay, yes.
Out by Fish Fry.
Ancient Chinese Secret.
Yeah, and it was started to spry a little bit. So my wife said, go to the car, get the umbrella. I went to the car, got the umbrella, the back seat, covering the bag that nobody could see it, although the glass is tainted. When I raise up, two guys rock up on me. And they say, hey,
wow. You
want to die over here tonight? You want to die? Get in this car. Give me this key for this car right now. And they keep shouting that out. I had my wife's key in my hand, and I literally just dropped the key on the ground. They didn't see when I dropped it. When I was going to stench the gang to them, when I looked, I saw the 45 to my side. I said, no, let me cool and calm. I took off my truck key. I had it over my neck on the chain. I say, man, here, see the key for the car. They say, this ain't the key, man. This ain't. I say, man, this is the key for the car. Take it. This is the key. So the guy with the gun, he took the key from me, and he went into the car whilst the other guy still was holding me up. And when I saw that he went in the car, I just pushed the guy off, and I was able to run and get away. And when I got the police and came back to the car, my wife key still was on the outside, my phone still was outside on the ground, and my truck key, what he tried to say, start the car with, was still on the car. But one, what really got me sort of afraid, my daughter was coming with me to the car, because the wife, they was on the ground. I say, no, Shalisa, you stay. Don't come with me. I'm okay. That could have been a different scenario right there if my daughter had come to me with the car. And one, you know, people were passing up and down while they had me school, but I suppose they just taught me a conversation. And wow. I was going to shout out. I said, no, don't let me shout. Because they might have come out, you know, start shooting and every innocent people. All of us were innocent anyhow, might have gotten shot. And people just walking past and everything. They didn't see anything. They didn't know anything. And I just didn't shout out or anything like that. And so one, you know, I mean, big 45. I say, man, wow. And that's the second time in my lifetime I was over the 45.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Yeah. My goodness. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah. Okay, great.
All right. Thanks a lot. Sheesh. Yeah, thank God for that. And yeah, man, if you're getting robbed, give them the stuff, right? You can get more stuff. You can't get more you or your loved ones. All right. We got a lot of messages. This says, okay, Juan, I like you, but you only want people to agree with you. You ban the people who don't agree with what you're saying. That's not true. There's only one person who's banned. There are a couple of people who don't call as often because I've been intolerant of nonsense. But it is, I tell you what, here's what you do. But do this next week for me, okay? I'm big on philosophy. I almost did my degree in philosophy, all right? Google, I know you're going to say it's a white man, but anyway. Look up Immanuel Kant, all right? K-A-N-T. He's a German philosopher. And one of his most famous or cited works was on ethics. He's an ethicist, right? I'm going to leave you with this. Think on it, all right? I'll be here tomorrow, but I'm going to leave you with this. Think on it. Look up Immanuel Kant and look up what he had to say about obligation and duty, okay? And the philosophical ethical concept of what you owe yourself as opposed to what you owe others, and what obligations as a human being, other than basic humanity, you owe others. And so, and I'll try to say this in 60 seconds. When I think about my obligation to the wider audience and my frustration and irritation and inability to properly conduct a show because of a few people who believe I'm obligated to let them talk nonsense, the obligation to the wider audience and myself outweighs my obligation to them. Therefore, I would prefer not to speak with them. Look up Kant and look up the concept and let me know what you think. We gotta go. Shivagar Lang's up next with Z Live Off the Record. My name's Juan McCartney. Have a great day, Bahamas.